What's new, Nate?
It's live show week, man. And I'm going to be in Florida this weekend for the live show, IRL, loving life, having fun with all you people that are going to show up.
Question, because right now, as we're recording this, you are Scruffy Nate. What are we going to see at the live show? Like, are we going to see shirtless Nate? Are we going to see Scruffy Nate? What Nate are we getting?
You're for sure not getting shirtless Nate.
Okay.
Our but ticket sales
you'll have
just
to come. You'll have to come and find out whether I'm Scruffy Nate or not.
Oh, wow. Wow. It's like a teaser.
I'm going to leave it open-ended.
Wow, man. That's like The Quiet Place. You don't know what's going to happen until the monster makes the noise.
Well, we hadn't discussed this previously, but similarly, I'm waiting to see if I'm going to shave my legs or not. So you may get Scruffy Nate. You may get Scruffy Emily.
Wow.
We just don't know.
Excellent. Love where this is going already. Speaking of the live show, do you want to do your What's New next?
Yes. So if this is your first listen here to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast, welcome.
Go ahead and change the channel.
No. We have fun and we love each other. Ew. I hate that I just said that. Please cut that out.
No way I'm cutting that out.
Anyway, I'm Emily and my co-hosts Nate and Travis are here and we do a show about hunting, fishing, outdoors, pop culture, snacks mostly. Welcome. If you want to come see us live, we are recording our 100th episode live at Grove Roots Brewery in Winter Haven, Florida.
August 24th, 6 p.m. The doors open.
Yes. But we would love it if you would please go to any of our social media at Cast and Blast on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook and find the link to purchase a ticket. It's free. Purchase is in bunny ears, but we just would like to know you're coming because there are limitations on how many people we can.
We only have a couple of tickets left only because... sadly, a couple of folks had like funerals and things like that come up that they're not going to, memorial services and stuff, they're not going to be able to attend. So we did have a couple of seats we were able to squeeze back open, and we've had so much requests for that. We wanted to make sure you guys knew there were a few seats still available.
Yeah, so that's going to be a lot of fun. We have giveaways. We have games. The show is sponsored by Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, and we have a rep from them, Chad, our friend Chad, that's going to be there, friend of the show, Chad Rashar. So that's my what's new. What's new with you, Travis?
Well, I'm going to finish up yours a little bit.
Okay.
Not that you didn't finish it, but no, we've got, official taxidermist of the show, Landon Blankenship, is giving away a mount. Scott McKinney's coming from Darkwater Calls, bringing some swag.
Swiggity swag.
It's going to be off the hook. Lawrence Pena, friend of the show, Lawrence Pena, friend in real life, is providing pulled pork for everyone. So, like, this is going to be a throwdown. BHA bought.
It's
going to
be legit.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Mark Dover, actually, he came in as a sponsor, too, and helped us offset a huge cost, which was the sound equipment. So, like, man, it's just been everybody. It's been like a community coming together, which is going to be a little bit of a theme of this episode as we, when we finish up, not to spoil our keep. But speaking on that, my what's new is I just announced, most of you will have saw this, will have seen this. This past week, I announced a new program. Last year, we did Pay Your Age Hunts. This year, we want people that have never hunted before to go on a hunt. Go ahead, Nate.
Like, never hunted ever.
Never.
Never.
We will shepherd them through the process, be it depending on their interest level, what they're interested in doing. We're even open to taking them on a squirrel hunt, a small game hunt. We're open to a coot hunt, a Martian hunt. We're not opposed to going to the shooting range with them and letting them shoot the gun a few times before we go. Like, we are going all in on mentoring and recruitment here. Emily and I talked about this a while back. We've been planning to announce it, and I wanted to get it out there before we went to the live show because I think it's a really cool idea, man. Really cool idea.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely.
The thing I love about it is one of the reasons people have a hard time getting into hunting, even if they want to, is it's expensive to get started. You need a gun. You need camo. You need a way to get to the place where the animals are. You have to buy permits and stamps and things like that. And we're taking care of all of that for you. If you want to hunt with us, all you need is to contact us and tell us.
Yes. Now, we have a limited number of seats with us, but we've already had a number of folks that listen to the show reach out and say, hey, if you get too many people, let me know. Or if you get a friend of mine up at Ocala was like, if you get a guy that's up this way, let me know. Guy in Jacksonville, if you get a guy over here, let me know. So people all around the state, Alex Pomerato with Quackskins already copied the post. He's like, dude, do you care if I copy this? I'm like, no, I wish everyone would copy this. Because that's how we need to be doing recruitment and conservation moving forward. So, but we're not going to just, you know, stick you in a tree stand or stick you in the duck blind and say, here, shoot some ducks when they come in. We're literally going to be right there next to you. If you're not comfortable shooting, we will just come with us and hang out.
Yeah.
Your sister Kaylee's talked about going some this year, and she's not sure she's ready to shoot yet.
Yeah, and don't feel weird about it. I did that for a long, probably 5 or 6 hunts before I finally was like, all right, I'm going to try to shoot a duck. And I did, and then I realized I was okay with it. So it's okay to kind of creep up on it and kind of learn about yourself as you go.
And if you don't like hunting on spec, you're just like, man, hunting's bad. I'm not a fan of hunting. I would invite you to take this opportunity. I'll buy you breakfast at the end of this to come hang out with me in the duck blind for a morning. Maybe me and Emily, maybe me and Nate. Who knows when it will schedule out, but come hang out with me one morning. Let's talk hunting. Get deep on it.
Cool.
That is my what's new. And I'm buzzing about that. I'm buzzing about that. I'm buzzing about the live show.
I am too. Hey, how are we going to pay for all these free breakfasts you're buying people?
Oh, we have to pay some bills.
Do
you know how we're going to pay bills, Nate?
With Hallett Insurance?
Yes! There is a rumor afoot, that if you come to the live show, you may actually get to meet Fletcher Hallett live and in person.
Oh my gosh.
At Groove Roots Brewing Company in Winter Haven, Florida.
I wonder if he wrote us a jingle and he's going to sing it.
Should we sing the Double the L song live?
Yes.
Should we get the whole audience? Like, should you be a music director in church?
Oh my God. I've always wanted to do that, actually. I'm in.
Nate can bring me guitar, strum a few chords.
Little more from the altos.
All right, can we hear it? Double the L's, double the T's.
Double the L's and double the T's. Hallett for all your insurance needs.
Friend of the show, Fletcher Hallett. Hallett Insurance Company. F. Hallett, F-H-A-L-L-E-T-T at HallettInns.com. 904-315-5812. Call in for your boat insurance, your home insurance, your business insurance. I actually sent several people to him this week on... They had questions about, can we get insurance around a hunting lease or something like that? I'm like, call Fletcher and find out. Like, worst he can say is no.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing he's going to go try to find you a policy or send you to a guy that can write it. So give him a call. Hallett Insurance. Emily.
Yes, Travis.
Is a game the foot?
Is a game afoot?
Yes. An anonymous mailbag game.
Oh, that's not a game. That's an anonymous mailbag.
That's a different segment altogether.
Totes.
We just have one anonymous mailbag because you know what we're going to talk to you about today, don't you, Nate?
I do know what we're going to talk about today.
Do you want to give a little spoiler, a little taste, a little teaser?
We're going to talk about big lizards.
All right, Emily, let's hear it.
Okay, we have an anonymous mailbag submission. It says...
Who's it from?
It's anonymous.
I love that you looked.
You are a you-know-what. Okay, what up, Cast and Blasters? So there's this girl at the office.
Is she the one? Let's start there. Ask yourself that.
Okay, can I go now for the rest of it?
Yes, sorry.
She hates hunting, can't stand it. She keeps making an issue of it. I'm trying to figure out how to navigate the situation. We don't work in an outdoors type job. It's an office job. But everyone knows I hunt and fish, and she's making a stink about it to the point that it's awkward. How do I go about handling this situation, oh wise ones, mostly Nate?
Wait, what?
He wasn't even paying attention for that whole thing.
This person is saying, how do I go about handling this situation? But mostly he wants to hear from Nate because he's determined you're the wisest of the three of us.
He's objectively wrong.
Well,
are you going to finish the letter?
Well, yeah. So he goes on to say, I love the show. I've tried to leave a review 3 times, but can't figure out where it goes. Anyway, show me the way. Let's start with the question about how to deal with this girl.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I've never really encountered this situation before.
Wow.
So I don't really know how I would handle it. I mean, I know kind of how I would handle an anti-hunter if they came up to me and just started spouting off stuff about hunting that they don't know anything about.
What do you got?
So, I don't know. Try to, you know, make it about food. If she's not a vegan, then what is she even talking about?
Like, right. Where does her food come from?
Where's her food come from? Ask her where her food comes from. Make it about time spent in the outdoors. Make it about family, friends, camaraderie. Talk about the positive things about hunting that doesn't actually get into what she probably doesn't like is the killing of the animal. I mean, that's the reason people don't like hunting, mostly. And just try to, like, I don't know, I would say, like, diffuse the situation by, and I don't do this rudely, but, you know, next time she starts making a stink about it, you know, ask her if she eats meat. Do you eat meat? And if she says, well, yes, then you can say, well, how are you any better than me?
Right.
If you're killing, you're killing a bunch of animals too. I'm killing animals, but I know where my food comes from. I know where my food was standing when it died.
And the animals you're killing humanely.
Right. Exactly. Like, I'm not stuffing them in a pen and feeding them full of grain for months and then shuffle them through a, you know, getting a metal bolt to the brain.
If you've ever if you've ever been to the cattle processing plates, it's not a pretty situation what unfolds there.
And they do the best they can with it, but
I'll eat a steak right now.
Absolutely. But it's still not a wild animal going about its life 1 second, just doing normal animal things. And then the next second becomes food for someone.
Right.
Like, that's not the same thing. So I would really push the food issue if she keeps making it a thing and, like, talking about how it's bad or whatever she says. I don't know. But I would really push the food side of things.
Do you have
any? Because statistically, like, I heard something that food is the reason. The food argument is the main argument that gets people non-hostile towards hunting.
Moves them towards the middle.
Moves the needle a little bit. That's the main argument.
Do you have any thoughts on this email, Emily?
I think you have two ways to swing. I would say if you want to put the time and energy into conversion, meaning trying to bring her over to your side, maybe take her out to lunch and have an actual conversation about it and make it, I think it's a different conversation when it's just the two of you versus having an audience in the office. And so,
yes, that's a good point.
She may act differently in private, you know, in a different setting. But if you don't want to do the time and energy of the conversion, I'm trying to bring her on side, maybe just shake her hand and be like, I get it. We just don't agree. And I promise not to make fun of you for something you're into, and we'll just go our separate ways. And, like, it is what it is.
Do you think there's more to this? Like, maybe she's hot? Given everything we know, which is five sentences, do you believe she might be hot?
I don't.
You don't think she's hot?
No.
Do you think she's hot, Nate?
Hot girls like hunting, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I would say, this is going to sound really ugly and I don't mean it to, but I think that hot girls are smart girls. And if she won't debate or have a dialogue about this thing that she
like a tension there, though. Maybe, like, she's got a crush on this guy and she's picking on him good naturedly about
that.
No. She thinks
she
is.
That's like saying to your little girl, oh, that boy slapped you on the playground. He has a crush on you. No, that's not how that works. Sorry.
Well, I think the advice was very good there. I think Nate talking about the food angle was the right way to go. I also think, like, at some point, why are you bringing this up to me in the office over and over? Like, call her on that. Like, why do you keep bringing that up to me?
Well, what if his cubicle is, like, decorated in camo? With, like, a trophy, like a fake Billy Bass or whatever on the wall.
I get that. But if it's not, like, why, you know, if he's got one little picture of off to the side of him with a deer or whatever, why are you picking on me about this thing? Why are you making it such a thing? Can you imagine if the situation reversed and he picked on a thing about her? Like, that could almost be a harassment situation or a hostile work environment or something like that. So,
yeah.
All right. Are we making the world better with these mailbags? Do you feel like we are?
Yeah. I mean, let me tell you something, listener guy. He also, because he has a second question, he can't figure out how to leave a review, which it appears that most of our listeners can't. if you go to the Apple Podcast, which is that purple app, and go to our show, you can just scroll down through all the episodes and eventually get to a ratings and reviews section. And you can tap the stars to rate, or you can click write a review. It's just there in the purple writing. You just got to find it. Just take a little second after you put your car in park and go find it.
I'm
going to
be
so great.
I'm going to call all three of us out right now, because nowhere does it say that this is a guy that sent that in.
Oh.
How un-2019 wokeness of us to just assume that was from a dude.
Sorry.
We apologize, listener. But you should still take our advice, because it was spot on.
Yeah. Our advice was genderless.
Do you want to tell Nate what we named this episode?
Nate, did you see what we named this episode?
I did see what we named this episode.
I want to hold your hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, the last thing I want to do is talk about iguana hunting in Florida. And if you're out of state, just understand, like, I totally get it if you just want to use the skip button and bump ahead like 15 or 20 minutes, because what's about to happen here is like the most unholy union of the outdoors. It's like, okay, can someone set the stage for what the Iguana Hunters page is? Florida Iguana Hunters is what we're talking about.
It is a dumpster fire of a page. With a little bit of everything that I'm not sure where it comes from. And it's only been on the interwebs for less like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And there's already like 700-800 members.
Oh,
and
my God.
Pomerita created it. Alex Pomerita created it.
Yeah.
My favorite program right now.
It is incredibly entertaining.
Yeah.
I literally laugh out loud almost every day reading the comment threads of that stupid page.
So here's the thing. If you're out of state, because we do have a lot of out-of-state listeners, recently FWC sent out a memo and said, we want you to shoot iguanas. We want you to kill iguanas if you see them, or something like that. Like, I'm paraphrasing, but the memo was pretty open-ended.
You can call it what it was. It was a wanted poster with a picture of an iguana and permission to shoot on site.
And
as though we were marshals.
Then like a week later, someone with an air rifle shot someone else with an air rifle while trying to shoot an iguana at a pool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that happened like almost immediately. And then the FWC commissioners put out another memo, maybe calling for some adaptation. I don't have it in front of me, but calling for like maybe some adaptation of some safer practices for harvest of the iguanas. So these are invasive species. Don't have any idea what kind of iguana they are. They're just like these big, ugly green.
They're green.
Green and gray, and some of them are kind of orangish. Anyway, people are losing their minds. So Alex, seizing the moment, started Florida Iguana Hunters once the memo came out. And the best way I can describe it is, you know how those satire sites are out there, like The Onion or Babylon Bee?
Yes.
It's like they got Florida Duck Hunters drunk. And there was an unholy union. Like, that's what this page is.
I thought it was a joke. Go ahead.
No, like, the satire thing rings true. Like, some of the posts are 100% satire, and then there's like two people that take it 100% seriously. And like you posted something the other day, Emily. It said, what kind of iguana is this? It's just like a yard lizard.
It was a Cuban animal.
I posted iguana ID, please.
And right.
And
it got
all
real
of
bad,
our
real
friends
fast.
Of the show
yeah.
are like spouting out all this crazy stuff. And then this one guy's like, oh yeah, that's a blah, 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 blah Cuban anal. Blah, 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 blah. And then they started, they took the word anal and ran with it.
Yeah, friend of the show.
I was like dying laughing the whole time.
It sprouted onto other threads too. Like they're all talking
yes,
about anal.
Yes.
Friend of the show, Ryan Briggs. Wow. I told him today.
Man.
I said, this is like God was like, man, I don't know really what to do with Ryan's talents. I'm going to create a Facebook page and turn him loose. And it is like, it's the perfect blend, right? It's right in his sweet spot.
I mean, it's right in his wheelhouse. I'm telling you, he is so funny.
It has spawned me into video creation.
Oh no.
You have put out some quality content.
And I hate videos. You know this about me.
I know you do.
Let's see. I've walked through Dark Water Call's iguana call, which was a reedless duck call. Had no reed
very,
in it.
Very informative, by the way.
I walked through
High Fence Hunt.
The High Fence Hunt, which was me in front of a pet store waiting to go
in. A pet store.
Can you imagine that, man? Can you imagine any other animal you can hunt where you could go buy one for $75 and pick the one you want? But how is that not like a High Fence Hunt? Like, I want
to
shoot
a
deer.
Take it to the taxidermist. Yeah. Oh, I want you to kill it for me.
Dude, if I could somehow get an iguana to a taxidermist, like, the video on that would be incredible, right?
No.
Like, if we could walk land, if we could get Landon to walk us through how to, should we put them in pantyhose? Should we not put them in pantyhose? Should we freeze them right away?
I can't tell you, these videos make me laugh. But also today I came home from work and I was like, I thought you were going to vacuum this room. And Travis is like, I ran out of time. But he posted a video on the Iguana Hunters group this morning. And I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, I combined the hike to hunt challenge with iguana hunting. That was big.
Yeah,
and first
you walked like, and you walked a total of like,
7 or 8 feet. Yeah.
Yeah.
These are some that I've got hope. I've already got these videos in the can. I've got one of my dog pointing a Cuban anole. It's going to go up. Because, you know, when you train in like the quail woods, you go get like pigeons or something. You don't train on the actual game.
Right. Right.
So why wouldn't you train an iguana dog with a yard lizard?
An anole pointer.
Yeah. An anole pointer. I also, you know how we've got the Ultimate Waterfowlers Challenge or Hunt 41 or those groups for collecting? I'm proposing that we do the Ultimate Squamata Challenge, which is the genus, I think, family genus species. No, the family name that iguanas are in. There's 10,000 reptiles in that family.
Oh, okay.
So if we went with the Ultimate Squamata Challenge, you'd have to harvest like 8,000 or so if you couldn't get the protected ones. And then if you did that, we'd give you like a trophy.
That sounds like a blast.
We'd name something after you, a kid or a dog. I'm also waiting for the iguana recipes. Like, that's the next thing, right?
They're
like,
coming. Oh, they're for sure coming.
Like, we need Hank Shaw or like Jeremiah Dowdy or somebody to weigh in on some iguana recipes.
Yes.
Rest in peace, Anthony Bourdain.
Wow. Too soon.
Yeah. I did catch some heck on the iguana page, and I'll tell you why. I don't know if you guys saw this page. I tagged you in it, but there's so much happening out there. Like, it's rapid fire. So I did catch some heck because I expressed concern. Someone went out there and posted that he's getting FDA approval for harvested iguana meat. And he's going to package it and sell it. And again, this is where you don't know if this is satire anymore or real. But this guy was serious. Like, he was deathly serious. And I said, you know, I find this a little bit disturbing. Just because what we're doing now is creating an economy around an invasive. And what happens if we do that? Like what's the continuation of that?
Right.
Everybody pushed back right away and they're like, well, that's not going to happen. And I want to say this. If you'd asked 50 years ago, will there be an economy around hydrilla? People would say you're insane. But I guarantee you the guys that run the spray boats, the guys for aquatic plant management, the guys that own chemical companies, there's an economy built around, I'm not questioning their motives or anything else. This is not about that. I'm just saying they make a living off of invasive plants that 50 years ago you would have thought, well, that's a joke. There's not going to be a sustainable economy there. And my concern is if we're not careful about how we approach this, at some point, does it become something where we're now managing the iguanas because it's cutting into the economy for these iguana catchers or iguana hunters or iguana trappers?
Right.
Or,
right.
Do you have comments?
I just went back to the page and caught up on something, and I just got a joke about the anole. Anole. How do you say it?
Anole.
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 Sorry. Go on.
No, that was it. Go. You have anything to say about that name?
No, but that's a valid concern, right? Because, I mean, that's part of the reason that hogs are in states where they probably shouldn't be. It's because these guys are like, oh, we can make money selling hog hunts if we get some hogs from Texas or Florida and bring them up here and turn them loose and charge guys $200 to come shoot one. You know, and that's the kind of it was creating an economy around an invasive species. So I understand the concern behind that for sure. But the flip side of that is you create a demand for something.
That's true.
and you eradicate the species. Yep. I mean, you know, you just go into it thinking, okay, this is there's a finite.
I can enjoy this resource for this long.
Right. There's an end to this. This isn't going to be my lifetime career. So I being a iguana packaging facility. So I run this thing until the resource runs out, and then we move on.
Yeah. Our friend of the show, Bill Cooksey, commented and was like, I can't remember the lake. It's Kentucky Lake or Real Foot Lake. One of the lakes up that way, like the mid upper south, they've been overrun with Asian carp. And I can't remember if it's a food company or like a pet food company wants to build a facility there, harvest the Asian carp. But there's a concern if they spend the money to build a facility there and start harvesting the Asian carp, they're always going to want to be able to harvest Asian carps out of there because they've spent this amount of money on it. So it's like a...
Right.
Where's that line in there? And I just think, yeah, iguanas are silly and fun right now. And let's be honest, like I'll have forgotten about iguanas in about 2 weeks. It's just the newness.
Right.
But the fact is, I think this is a problem in Florida specifically where we don't, because we're such a subtropical climate, we don't really stay engaged on this long term. So we think nothing of a conversation like this. It's just throwaway conversation. Like, oh, that dude's going to go try to get FDA approval for this thing. Ha 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 ha. Let's have some laughs and make some anal jokes and some, and then move on. And in reality, as sportsmen, as conservationists, we have to pay attention to the whole board. We can't just make checker moves in a chess game. We have to really study what are the long-term ramifications on this. And we don't know. It's all guesswork right now.
Yeah, it's all brand new.
Do you have anything else to add about iguanas? I told you this would be a short segment. I just...
If you want to be a member of the Florida Iguana Hunters group, we'll have a link in the show notes.
Oh, for sure.
So check it out yourself.
Did you know you can book an iguana hunt charter?
Interesting.
Yeah. Alex, that's part of the thing. He's not doing the charters, I don't think, but he's got guys out there that are doing iguana hunting charters. And... I think we'd be remiss not to discuss just, do you remember Ryan Briggs got into on the Florida Duck Hunters group a couple years ago with a purple gallinule? And he called them blue-faced coots?
Yes.
Well, there's a blue-faced iguana.
Ooh, nice.
Now, they're not indigenous to the United States. Or they're not invasive to the United States. They're somewhere else. They're like in the Cayman Islands or somewhere. But Briggs is having a field day with that now because he's all about the blue-faces.
Blue-face.
So I think I'd like to make a blue-faced coot the mascot of our show. How would you feel? A big purple gallinule?
Yeah, I don't really shoot gallinules, so I'm not really into
Well,
that.
They're protected. Purple ones are federally protected. No?
Why we're would we no make a protected that. Species?
That's yeah. a that's a no all the way around.
We're out.
Nate, what is your release?
My release is that it's been... like in the upper 90s every day in Atlanta for the past like 3 weeks. I moved up here with an expectation.
Which was?
The summers wouldn't be as hot as we're in Florida. But here I am. It's 97 degrees outside. And I'm just baking in the sun. And I'm like, did I actually move out of Florida? Because I'm not sure I did. So I'm tired of the heat. I'm ready for it to cool off.
You know how you can tell you're not in Florida is because you're dry.
Right. Because it's 117 and raining sideways here.
It's been raining for like 3 weeks straight.
But you know how like in the normal weather pattern, like it'll rain and it almost cools it off? It doesn't cool it off, but it drops at like 5 degrees.
Right.
Right now it's raining, hot rain.
Just like boiling water
yeah.
coming down from the sky.
It's like someone heated up the water and they're raining on
us. It's like you're
us.
Getting peed on.
Yeah, it's awful.
And it's not raining. Normally, this time of year, it rains at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's raining. It starts raining on my way to work.
Yeah, 8 a.m., 7:30 in the morning.
It just rains.
It rains all day. Oh, my God, dude. It's just miserable right now. Are we back to Nate doing weather stuff?
He's our weather guy.
That's kind of where we're at.
It's been a minute. It's been a couple episodes. I need to keep the people updated.
Yeah, because they need you to record on Sunday what the weather's going to be on Tuesday because no one's invented an app yet to do that.
I usually use generalizations here.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
As weathermen do. Yeah.
Do you have a release?
I would just like to release anybody who's hating on T-Swizzle.
Taylor Swift?
Yes, because, oh wait, her new album won't be out until the next episode. But, okay, this episode goes live on Tuesday, and then her album comes out Friday, and it's called Lover, and she released the title track, Lover, and it's so good.
Do you think she'll be at the live show?
Oh, my gosh.
Because her album releases Friday, live show Saturday. What are the chances Taylor Swift shows up at the live show? Because I've confirmed Kenny Chesney is not coming.
I don't think they're good, Trav, but we can dream.
Okay.
We can.
Oh, I can dream.
And you will.
Love me some T-Swizzle. My release is, I'm sure you guys have seen me ranting and raving about this a little bit. The toll road fiasco in Florida, the road to nowhere, Billionaire Boulevard. Those are all the nicknames it's been given. They have,
yes.
They have formed a task force for this. And this is the part that's got me riled up. Not a single sportsman on the task force. There is not a person on the task force that represents hunters or fishermen in this state. And I don't understand how that is possible when you're bisecting Polk, Highlands, Hardy, Collier, Lee, like the counties you're going through. And then you're going up through Sumter, Lake, Citrus, Hernando, going up through Taylor County, going up through the Panhandle. It's just, we've talked about the toll road before. There is no need for this road. This is not going to alleviate I-4 traffic. This is not going to alleviate 75 traffic.
No.
If you've heard that is somewhat something someone's telling you. This is one of the most unbelievable boondoggles I've ever seen, where just people are going to get rich off of it, selling the road, making the road. Man, I cannot believe that we sit here in this day and age and we talk about how awesome DeSantis is doing for the state. And this isn't to run him down. I think he's done some good things. But how do you let this happen and compare yourself to Teddy Roosevelt? Like, how do you let this happen? It's literally, Nate, did you see the map I shared? It's got to go through the Green Swamp and Ridge Loam. Like, they've got to cut through it to put this road in. There is no option on that. To connect and Polk and Citrus.
That sucks. Then that sucks. Because that's some areas that I've grew up hunting and have some really fond memories in there. And that's some of the most, I don't know if I'd call it pristine, but some of the wilder spots in Florida. Like, yes. One of the wilder spots in Florida is right there.
Yes.
And, you know, that's, I don't know. It just sucks that nobody's really getting, they're not getting any pushback from hunters and stuff.
Well, they're going to get pushback from me at the meeting. The meeting is August 27th in Tampa. And I plan to be there. And if they give me 3 minutes, I'm going to use my 3 minutes to basically say this is bull.
Right.
Why does no one have the guts or the, I don't even know, the cojones to stand up and call a thing what it is? Like, that's what we've got here. This is not a road that's necessary for evacuation. You've driven up and down 17 a million times. Is it congested with traffic? Like Highway 17 that we take down south?
Yeah.
They four-laned it. They just finished four-laning it.
Right.
Like 15 minutes ago and spent a gajillion dollars doing it. And it's a pleasure to drive.
Oh, it's a great drive.
There's perfect infrastructure from Polk to wherever that goes, Punta Gorda. Anyway, this just irks me. And then it irks me when people are like, they take the hardline approach on it. Well, you can't fault those people for making money. I think I'm at the point where I'm faulting those people for making money. Like, they're now doing it. We're seeing tragedy of the commons play out at a large scale in the state. So I can't, man. I can't sit idly by and watch that happen. And it feels like in the hunting community, there's a little bit of apathy about it. It's going to happen whether you say anything or not. Okay. Well, I have some trouble with that premise.
Yeah. Yep.
Keeps? Do we have a keep? We have a group keep.
Group keep.
Go, Nate.
We are keeping the listeners of the Cast and Blast Water Podcast show.
Yes.
Collectively, as a group.
Because you guys show up in a major way. I mean, do you want to jump in on this before I go too far? Or you?
No, I think today when you launched the We'll Take You Hunting program thing, it was just really cool that so many people were like, I've got a boat. If your five slots get taken, like, I've got a boat, I'll take people. I'm going to copy and share this. Guides from all over the state. I hope that it goes nationwide. I hope that people in Arkansas or on the Mississippi Flyway will consider the same thing, because somebody's got to get some new people in recruitment.
Right. Well, it goes even beyond that. Like, if you go back to the spray meetings, I counted listeners that I met. I kept a little tab in my car. We had 84 people that listened to the show up at the Spray meetings when we went on the world tour. If there's a meeting in Orlando, if there's a meeting in Sebring, like you guys show up, and today is when it really hit home for me. We're recording this on Sunday, and we, like Em said, we launched that. And almost immediately got a message from, and I don't know if he cares if I say his name or not, but it was from Dan Rush, who you picked on a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, Dan. Sorry, Dan.
And Dan messaged me, and he's like, look, dude, I know I booked 2 charters with you back-to-back days. He said, I want you to take one of those and give them to somebody that's never hunted before. I'll pay you for the charter. Like, that gives me chills, wow, man. That, like, yeah, makes my eyes well up a little bit that people are so willing to.
Right.
Lawrence Pena, I was like, he came out of the goodness of his heart and donated food for the live show that is coming up this weekend. I said, man, next trip's on me. He's like, no, the next trip's on me. He's like, I love what you guys are doing. I love how hard you're pushing for conservation. I love how hard you're pushing for recruitment and stuff. And, like, thank you. Like,
yeah,
I don't even know how else to say it. Like, I'm overwhelmed for words on it. I know that sounds kind of corny or cheesy, but truly from the bottom of our heart, thank you. Like, it's an emotional thing for us. It's a big deal.
It's nice to feel like some people are rallying with us, especially because we work really hard to put out good free content every week. And the whole point was to bring people in and together to build this community. So it's working and we're excited.
Yeah. So thank you guys. I hope you guys feel like you're part of a community. I hope you feel like you're in this with us, because you are. We're not doing this without y'all. So
we promise not to cry at the live show.
Yeah. I'm not crying at the live show, especially if Dustin Wooder's there. It's the worst.
D Wood Nasty. His life is a travesty in the cell with no view, but he leaves a review.
Stay woke. Thanks for listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. As always, you can find us on social media anywhere at Cast and Blast FL. Thanks to Trail Diver for our outro music, Citrus. Make sure if you're coming to the live show, you've registered with us so we have your name on the head count. And if you have a second, please take a moment, leave us a review on iTunes, and take the time to tell a friend about our show.